first and foremost, you've got to be happy. You have to be doing something, I think, on a day-to-day basis, which is aligned to your needs.
I'm Sonia Morton-Firth, and you're tuned in to The Sonia Morton-Firth Show. Today, my guest is Angela Middleton, MBE, the number one careers, fitness, and business expert, dubbed the Career Queen by the press and awarded an MBE. In this episode, Angela shares her practical guide to looking 20 years younger. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one. She also talks about the mindset that is needed to overcome stress and adopt a healthy lifestyle. And we unpick what it means to be spiritual. Angela, welcome back to my show.
Oh, thank you, Sonia. Nice to see you. Looking fab as always.
Oh, so are you. Angela, can you believe it's been 3 years since we met and did that face-to-face interview? It was sort of during that space in lockdown where we were allowed to see each other. I think we were actually distanced.
Because it was empty, the office, wasn't it?
Yes. You know,
that was probably one of the last times I ever went into that office. I mean, obviously, we didn't know that then. But, God, it seems like a lifetime ago.
Gone so fast.
And I remember being in gym kit then, and I'd not have my hair done. Eyebrows.
I definitely encourage people to go and listen to that episode as well. I also watched a really interesting interview with you, Angela, and your son, Stephen Middleton.
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube and it was fascinating. Again, I'd encourage anyone to go and watch that to really get into your background. It was really fascinating. But for my audience who maybe hasn't tuned in to our previous episode, could you give me some of the key points, Angela, in your journey that's led you to who you are today?
I mean, my son asked me some similar things, actually, because that was only a couple of weeks ago, and he's 31. And it's really interesting because he said to me at the end, he said, "Oh, I really didn't know some of that stuff." You know, it's funny, that's my own son, you know. And we talk a lot about business and everything. But I found myself telling him about the 80s, and you know, he was really shocked about when I told him things like the sexism that went on, you know, and I gave him a few examples. You can hear it in that podcast, and you can see him sort of go, "Oh God, really?" You know, he was really shocked. The things have changed a lot. So as I said to him in that, you know, I think quite a lot younger than I look a lot younger than I actually am. I've just turned 61.
And amazing.
You know, like you, I'm very interested in longevity. And I sort of started that process, I think, well, almost exactly 7 years ago, because funnily enough, I pulled up a video to show my current trainer this morning of when I very first stepped into a weight training gym. And it was nearly 7 years ago, trying to do an RDL.
And not the easiest of moves to start.
And being a trainer now myself, that's one of the things that, you know, sometimes people really do struggle to get. But anyway, in a nutshell, I've had, you know, quite a long career being 61. I came from a very ordinary working class background. Mum and dad, two brothers, Southeast London. The first one to go to university, and the only reason I went was because I was sponsored by my first employer, BP Oil. I got a job with them at 18, and I only, you know, applied to them because, you know, they had the word British in, so I thought it must be a big company. I had no careers advice of any sort, and it was also a surprise to everybody that I'd got my A levels as well. I just was one of those very hard-working little kids, you know, in a very rough school, actually. My mum always says, you know, the school was very rough, but I was always sort of all done up. And I think that came from my dad telling me that if I didn't work hard, you know, I wouldn't get a good job. And I had this real desire to do well, a competitive spirit, I suppose. And so I joined BP Oil at 18, and they sponsored me to do a business degree. And I was with them for about 10 years, during which time I did all sorts of things, IT, sales, marketing, and was fast-tracked through, you know, their they called it high potential, you know, management thing. But after about 10 years, I knew that I wanted to have children. At that time, you couldn't take maternity leave unless you'd work for someone for 2 years. So I thought, right, I need to go and work for someone else because I don't want to be work all around the country. So I went and worked for the Woolwich, which was became Barclays. I worked with them for 10 years. And at the end of that 10th year, I remember I was reporting at board level, very much IT at that point. And I remember looking at the chairman one night. He looked really tired. I had a better car than him at that time, which for some reason that sort of stands out. I remember that. And I thought, you know, I don't actually want your job. And if I don't want your job, and I was 39 by then, I had two children. I thought, you know, I may as well sort of change. And so I left thinking I'd go back as a consultant into the banking industry. But actually, to cut long story short, I ended up starting firstly a recruitment business. And then that morphed into all sorts of things as the years progressed. And I had that business and it became a group of businesses in recruitment, training, apprenticeships. We had O2 boxes and boxes at football stadiums and that. So we had an events arm. And yeah, had that for about 20 years up until the point where we had our interview in lockdown. And but just pre-lockdown in about 2018, having got very fit myself and, you know, that catching the attention of lots of people, including the newspapers, because they couldn't believe that, what was I, 55 then, a 55-year-old woman had transformed her body like that and was running a business and all the had children and all the rest of it. But I became very passionate, like you are, about fitness. And I realized then it really was like a sort of light bulb moment that, you know, this is a machine and we can't do all the things that we want to do, i.e. as business people, create businesses, create wealth and everything as effectively if this machine's not working properly. And so I came up with this brand, Your Body Means Business. And that was in 2018 as a passion project. And I'll go on to tell it, but during lockdown, I was asked by a company if I would train some people online and I did it from my garage and there were thousands of people online. And here we are today. And that's my main activity now, that business. But it's moved much beyond physical training. It's business coaching. It's mindset training. And we've got a whole variety of programs and we work with individuals, but primarily corporates and their staff. And very much advocating, you know, the whole body business connection. And that was actually something that I had launched in the House of Commons in 2018. I called it the Limitless Manifesto. And I talked about the fact that midlife individuals, you know, we should be giving them more attention because there's so much potential and they could bring so much to the country and so much to employers if we would just give them the chance of getting fit and recognising their worth and reskilling them to do different careers, you know.
Wow, Angela, I mean, you've had an absolutely incredible life and there is so much to unpack in all of that. In terms of, I guess, you know, you're a very, very successful woman. How do you sort of define success?
Well, how do I define? I mean, I suppose success, as you get older, we realise that there is a lot to be said for peace, peace of mind and happiness. And so I think first and foremost, I do define success as that very much now. You know, when I was younger and even up to sort of pre-COVID, I think I would have defined it very much. I do define it very much as first and foremost, you've got to be happy. You have to be doing something, I think, on a day-to-day basis, which is aligned to your needs, your human needs. And as I've learned over the years of progress, and you, I think you do Tony Robbins stuff as well. He talks about six human needs. And, you know, that and they range from sort of, you know, variety to security to, you know, significance and love and connection and contribution. And if you find that you've ended up building something or you're doing something and you're putting all your energy into it and then you don't feel sort of happy and successful, it's because somewhere along the line, those things have not ticked those needs, they've not ticked those boxes. Maybe they've given you lots of variety and you wanted security. Maybe they've given you loads of significance, but you wanted love and connection. Maybe, you know, you've been able to do lots of impact and contribution, but you have no security. So you have to be very mindful, I think, of all those. And once you know what those needs are, you can then structure your goals in such a way. So I think success is very much feeling that your needs are met. And that's different for everybody.
And how do you think your mindset has impacted your various different lives, say that your health, your personal life and your business? What sort of mindset have you had in those areas?
I've worked on my mindset a lot, to be honest with you. I think that I sort of went in stages. So as I say, when I was at school, it was very much, you know, must work hard, I must get a good job. And I guess that inwardly, that would have made me very anxious as a child. And, you know, I was an overworker. I worked really, really hard and did what my mum said, you know, never had to ask me to do my homework. In fact, she would say to me, come on, you need to stop now. So I was very much like a hard worker, overprepared. You know, when I was at work, when I started a business, it was very much ask, if you want something done, ask a busy person. I was one of those. I would always get stuff done. And again, I always wanted to overperform. You know, that's why I sort of did very well in the corporate world, because I just was first in, last out, did all of those traditional things. And so then, but you know, sort of midlife, 52, 53, 54, things do catch up with you. I was having success. The business had sort of, it went through times of, you know, it would jump up and then it would stagnate for a few years. And when I look back now, I didn't feel like it was stagnating. I always think that was because it was at a level that I wanted it to be, sort of thing, you know. So it sort of sat at 2 million and then it jumped up again, and it sat around about sort of 7, 8 million and then it jumped up again. And at its peak, it was turning over about 13, 14 million. And it was very profitable and it was valued at over 30 million just pre-COVID. I can tell you that story if you want. But I think in about 52, 53, I felt physically like I was slowing down. And I bought into that whole idea that that's what happens as we get older. You know, we get, not only do we look a bit softer and a bit, you know, sort of older, and our body's not quite the same, but also I bought into the idea that, you know, of course we feel a bit tired now because, you know, everyone retires at 65. So you're bound to want to feel, you know, slower. But I resisted it. I didn't like it, you know. And but then when I sort of found weight training and different way of eating and just a different lifestyle, and my body sort of snapped back and I felt sort of boundless energy and I was jumping out of bed at 4 a.m. and all of that, that was a light bulb moment. So that was the first thing. It was sort of like, you don't have to just push, because you can, if you get your body in a great state physically, one, it helps your mindset, but then your business or your whatever it is you're trying to do starts to flow. You know, the business started to grow almost, and I wasn't spending as much time on it, and things just started to really come into place. It was really become a lot easier. Now, that was the first thing. But then I realized that even that, you know, you can only go a certain way with a great body, but you have to have your mind in gear as well. You know, your mind has to be aligned with your body. And what I mean by that is your mind needs to be fit, strong, progressing. You know, it's almost like progressive overload, as we call it, for the body, but for the mind. And to do that, you know, you have to allow your mind to, well, you have to choose your thoughts. You have to break old patterns and create patterns that you want, patterns of thinking. You know, focus on things that we know, you know, working on gratitude, wanting, you know, concentrating on joy, the joy in small things. And what I found is when I did that type of mindset work, I had another period where everything sort of came together and, you know, things were sort of growing and it seemed sort of effortless. So yeah, that's been the sort of the journey that I've gone from sort of doing to feeling, you know, physically to thinking.
I love it. Now, I'm guessing some of our audience may be listening to this thinking, well, it's all very well for Angela to say that. She was a successful businesswoman, had the time, the money to then focus in on the mind. What would you say to somebody that's maybe listening to this that is struggling?
Yeah.
You know, I hear it all the time and it's like this, well, I just don't have time to focus on my body. You know, I'm working 24/7 on my business, or you know, I'm doing the corporate life thing where, you know, you're in work at 8, finish at 6, and then there's, you know, nowadays you're still in communication with your boss, so it becomes a sort of 24/7 thing. Is there any advice that you could give to somebody if they're struggling?
Well, I think so much of it is, I could go straight into time management strategies now, but that's not going to help those people, because those people have got, they need to be thinking differently. I heard someone say the other day, and this is, I thought it's just such a great analogy, that imagine, you know, you were given a car on your 17th birthday and you were told this is the only car you're ever going to have forever and ever and ever, I mean, you really would look after it. Same with anything. If I gave you now a coat, you know, and it was going to be the coat that you look, that you had to have for the rest of the, I mean, fashion aside, you know, it would be the thing that you would have, you would look after it, wouldn't you? We've got this one body. I can't believe that people don't look after it. Well, I can believe, because I was one of those, but you know, it is our only body. It's the only vehicle that we have to carry us through life until we die. And so it's surely got to be at least as much priority as our house, our car, our coats, our clothes, you know, and we find time to look all after those, don't we? Same with our children. You know, we look after our children, we look after our animals. And yet, you know, for some reason, people think it's okay to neglect our body. So I think when you start thinking that this is the most precious thing that we have, I mean, I had a sore throat, a virus and a sore throat last week. And as soon as you don't feel 100% well, it's the only thing you can think about. You know, you're not thinking about the things you want or, you know, what other people may think. You know, you're thinking about your health. And I think people that have never experienced being in tip top fitness, they have no idea what they're missing. And when you get there, and so many of my clients have said, oh my God, I wish I'd done this earlier. I can't believe I spent so long not being super fit. So that's there's two things really there. There's like the stick that I'm beating you with to say, look, this is the only thing that, this is the only body you've got. But there's the carrot that I'm dangling as well, which is to promise that you will just, everything else, the conversations with your boss, you know, the 24 hours that you say that you're working, all the things that you're having to do, it will all become easier and more enjoyable as well if you have a fit, strong body. And this is nothing to do with getting a six pack or biceps, although that's a happy coincidence. It's about how you're going to feel. You know, you'll feel confident, you'll feel happier, you'll feel more alive and awake and energetic. And you know, that you'll draw more people and more opportunities to you as well.
I mean, I'm nodding very much outside and on the inside, yeah, completely with that. And look, you're an absolute inspiration to everything that you say. You know, you're walking the walk. You look absolutely amazing, Angela, 460, and I know all the hard work that you've put in as well. Can you share some of your, I guess, your specific or maybe favorite diet supplement and training techniques?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because now I've sort of spoken to you about how to think. Well, obviously, then we do have the realities. Okay, all right, then, Angela. Well, you know, I agree with you then that I should do something, but I'm still working 24 hours a day. How the hell am I going to do it? And firstly, there are lots of little ways that you can do it. Firstly, you just have to drink. So every time I'm at a meeting, I've got water next to me and, you know, I'll try and drink it by the time we've finished or definitely before I put the laptop down. So, you know, you hydrate your body. It's just like one of the miracle things. It's so easy to do. So drinking water, it doesn't have to be, you know, any type of water, it can be. Sleeping. I mean, getting into bed earlier than you maybe want to, you know. So shall I watch another episode of whatever? It's 9:45. No, go to bed. You know, go to bed, go to sleep. Trying to get to sleep before 10 o'clock means that you're much more inclined to be able to get up at 5 o'clock. Because, you know, you're going to have 7 hours. And honestly, getting up at 5 o'clock is going to make a big, big difference. You know, yes, I get up sort of, you know, normally there's a four in the number, but 5 o'clock is probably a couple of hours early for a lot of people. And, you know, during that couple of hours, you can do things that would completely transform your life. And, you know, if you haven't found any time to do any exercise, that's the time to do it. I'll tell you my routine in a minute. But, yeah, you know, people are thinking they don't have the time. I'd say just get it done early. And it doesn't have to be a full on, you know, full go to the gym, do an hour. You can do a workout from home. You can do a really, really effective workout from home. And like I say, when I wasn't well last week, I had this sore throat. I sat at the desk for a bit and I just jumped up and did a 7-minute workout. There's a little app called the 7-minute workout. And it gets you to do 14 exercises, 14 times 30 seconds, bang, 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 bang. It's bloody exhausting at the end of 7 minutes, you know. And if you're not someone who's exercised before, then going and just doing some walking and counting your steps and trying to get to 10,000 by doing 3 short walks, making a point of even walking around the house, walking up every single flight of stairs that you come across instead of getting in the lift, walking up an escalator from the tube instead of waiting, you know, just taking every opportunity to walk and doing a quick 7-minute workout. I mean, that's a way to start. And then, you know, buying a program, obviously one of mine, if you want to. But buying any, there's a multitude of different programs if you don't want to go to the gym, where, you know, we would teach you to train from scratch at home. And in half an hour, if you get up at 5, you do a bit of journaling and stuff and have a coffee, you do a half an hour workout at 5:30 till 6, you know, you've still got like a really, really great day and you feel so different because you're now in control. Then you can have some form of nutritious breakfast, get some protein in, and that can be, you know, a whole variety of different things. I'll go into, you know, what I have if you want. And you've set yourself up for the day. So I would say get these things done early. Now, I've had clients who've, you know, traveling all over the place, they've got young children. A recent client, you know, she's very, very high up in a corporate. She's got 3 little children under the age of 4. 5, I think. And, you know, a very, very busy husband as well, who's also got a big job. And she has still managed to do it, getting up earlier, fitting in, you know, gym stuff and walks and things at lunchtime, you know, and if she can do it, I mean, you know, we all can.
But Angela, talk us through your routine. I think that would be really interesting. I think,
yeah.
I mean, I love a good morning routine. And it's yeah. You know, let's hear yours.
Well, I mean, obviously now this has become more of my business, even more of a passion. So my routine is pretty extensive. And so when I describe it, I don't want people who've not done it to say, oh, see, you know, it's going to be impossible because I couldn't do that. But mine started very much like I've just described, you know, and when I did my transformation, it was a question, because don't forget, I had that big off. Well, I had 14 offices, you know, I had 130 something staff. I had a million meetings that I had to attend, and you know, none of them were on Zoom. It was all face to face. That meant I was doing a lot of traveling. And so I used to do that. I used to get up early. I used to go straight to the gym, do a workout, come back, feel much more invigorated, have a shower, eat something. I'd still be in the office before 8 o'clock. So, you know, and still 2 children and all the things that, you know, we all have to contend with. But now it is different. Because I do a lot of mindset work as well. And I'm actually, I don't know if I told you that I've now trained with Joe Dispenza to teach his work as well.
We'll definitely have to get on to that. I absolutely love, Dr. Joe. I'm dying to do one of his workshops. I know it's quite difficult to get on, but yes, definitely.
Oh, no, they're amazing. I'd highly recommend. And now I've done this training, you know, I've incorporated it into the programs that we teach, and also actually officially deliver his programs as well. I trained with him personally for a couple of days, and so it's been very, very enlightening, and it's really changed my meditation practice. So my routine is, I get up, there's like a 4 o'clock in the number usually, so before 5 o'clock, I will just make a coffee, and it will be black coffee with some ghee, some MCT and some collagen protein. I'll sit down, I've got a Sensate. I don't know if you've come across a Sensate before, but you know, it sort of vibrates the vagus nerve, which is meant to be very calming.
How do you find that? Because I've been reading really like about it.
Yeah, I really love it actually. I mean, you just put it there on a string, and it's for about 20 minutes, and I put this thing called the Sound of Silence. And during that time, I just do a bit of journaling. And the journaling can be all sorts of things. I mean, it's what we teach in terms of, you know, different types of meditations. And but it can be identity based. It can be goals based. It can be, you know, what do I want to think, and how do I want to act, and how do I want to feel? So it goes through stages, really. But there'll be some journaling. And then I will go to the gym. And now my gym is, you know, pretty high tech now because it's in Kensington. I chose it purposefully for that. So I have an hour in an oxygen chamber, and I do an hour's meditation in there. And that's where I do the sort of the deep meditation. Then I have 3 minutes cryotherapy in their tank. Then I do a hard workout for an hour. Then I go in the red light sauna for about half an hour, have a shower. Then I walk back, get my dog, walk her. Come back, and sit down and start work, which obviously it's 10 o'clock here with us today, and this is about the time that I would start work. So I would have done all of that.
Well, that's absolutely amazing to think, and it's only 10 o'clock. You've got the rest of the day. Now, people might listen to that and devil's advocate say, wow, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah. Well, it isn't. You know, what it is it's actually invigorating. And but that's my Monday to Friday. And then and I don't normally train on a Wednesday. So I try to train 4 or 5 times, but Monday, Tuesday. So on the Wednesday, I don't actually train. I might do some sort of incline walking on a treadmill or something. And then Saturday or Sunday, I will train, but, you know, not always. So I do 4 or 5 training sessions. But I'm always done by about 10. And that's all the journaling, that's all the meditating. You know, now, obviously, there's an evening routine as well. So I try to get to bed, you know, early-ish, do some gratitude, put an audible on or something, and then, you know, try to be asleep.
What time?
Try to get into bed before 10 and, you know, try to be asleep just after 10. So I average just over 7 or 8 hours sometimes. But, you know, my resting heart rate is so low. It's about 45. My HRV is really high. You know, I monitor it on an Oura ring. But these have always been, these have all been steps over the last few years. You know, 7 years that really that I've been very, very focused on health. And food wise, I mean, I can eat very intuitively now, but, you know, it was very macro focused. And so you have to get used to the idea of knowing the macros in your food. And when I say macros, obviously I'm talking about protein and carbs and fats for people that don't know. And most people that don't know, and I was one of these, you know, we're not really taught about the protein content of food. So most people, you know, they eat too many carbs and they don't eat enough protein. And protein is the building blocks. So we have to eat protein if we want ourselves to renew at a rapid pace and to feel strong and maintain our bone density and our muscle mass. And muscle is where sugar goes, basically. So, you know, if you're going to consume sugar and you're going to consume carbs, which you should do for energy, you want a place for them to go, because if they don't have muscles to go to, they'll just go and sit on your belly or your bum, you know, or your legs. So and that's what will happen. And that's when we get, you know, the sort of pear shape, that, you know, the middle-aged spread and all that we don't want. So if you do some weight training and you eat some protein, then, you know, you're going to build some muscle. And then that's where the excess sugar can go. And then we need healthy fats, obviously, through things like eggs and avocado and nuts. You know, to promote cell renewal and to make sure the exterior of the cell is really strong and healthy, and that our skin is glowing and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, a macro count is ideal at the beginning if you want to be very precise about how much protein and how much fats and carbs. But as you progress and you get used to it, you can think, right, well, I'll always have porridge in the morning with berries and, you know, I would have had the collagen in my coffee, and then I'll have sort of eggs and, you know, whatever I've got or wherever I am, I'll have something like eggs on toast or something, you know, as a second meal about 11. And then I'll probably have prawns or chicken with loads of vegetables about 2 or 3. And then I'll do that same thing again about 6 or 7. I may have some yogurt and berries. That's about it. So I eat, you know, 4 or 5 times a day.
So you're not doing the intermittent fasting?
Well, no, I mean, I try not to eat from 7 in the morning until I actually have breakfast after the gym. And so, you know, it is quite a long time, really, because the coffee with the fats and the collagen don't break the fast. And so it's probably about 15 hours, which is long enough for the benefits of intermittent fasting. Yeah.
And in terms of the sort of, do you take supplements? There's so many now on the market, you can't, and I used to be
minefield, isn't it?
It's a minefield. And I've got to say, up until a few years ago, I was sort of, I wasn't anti supplements, but I always tried to get as much in my food, in whole foods, as I could. But of course, now getting into the science and into sort of all this sort of biohacking and the longevity, there are a few supplements I take. And I think as we grow older, particularly as women, there are certain supplements that can really benefit us. So it'd be interesting to hear what your sort of supplement stack is?
Well, I veer between none and some, and I'm currently in a phase of none, because I have my bloods done very regularly. It's one of the things that I was going to say is that, you know, it's such a great dashboard, really, if you get your bloods thoroughly done. And I try to do it every 6 weeks, because then, you know, I've got four blood markers and I can see if I'm low in anything, if I'm high in anything. So for a while I was having bionics, which are bespoke supplements. So they come and take your blood and they create supplement for you, which contains all the things that you need. So if you're a bit low in D, A, B12 or whatever, you know, me, for example, my body retains iron. I have hemochromatosis, and that means that, you know, you hold on to iron, and that can be really dangerous if you get iron overload. So it's good for me to give blood. So if I were just, you know, ploughed in and had a multivitamin with iron, it would have been even worse. And that's why you have to know your bloods, you know. So I was doing that for a while with bionics, and then taking, you know, having the blood test every 6 weeks, and then they would sort of modify it. And then I thought, you know, there is a danger with plastic. Once we take plastic into our body, of which the silicone around supplements is some, you know, you can never get plastic out of your body again. There's nothing, it's in there, you know. It is a killer, as that guy was telling us the other day. And so I thought to myself, well, let me get my bloods done with no supplements and see if there's much difference. And, you know, there really wasn't. There wasn't a lot of difference at all. So I'm having, funny enough, another set of bloods done on Tuesday, and that would have been two phases. So it would have been a full 3 months with no supplements. So we'll see on Tuesday. And, you know, but my go-to is definite, would always have been, regardless of the bionics, fish oil, vitamin D, maybe some magnesium, because that really helps with the vitamin D absorption. You know, I mean, I always put olive oil all over my skin. I think, you know, taking oil into your body via your skin is a great way to do it. So I can either go full on with bionics. Other things I've taken over the years are things like the natural herb Gotu Kolu, which tightens your skin. I always remember Charles Poliquin talking about that and saying that you can take Gotu Kolu and you won't think anything's happening. And then all of a sudden, one day you'll look down at your abs and your skin's tightened up. And that's definitely the case. Yeah. So,
any way you can recommend for that?
Just get it on Amazon. It's only a herb. It's called Gotu Kolu.
Gotu Kolu, right. Okay. Might have to put a link to that.
But, you know, I haven't taken that for ages. But, you know, and obviously, I suppose collagen and whey protein powder, you know, I use that if I'm trying to keep my protein up and I've not eaten enough, you know, fish or whatever. Then I'll have that. But that's it, really. I mean, NAD, metformin, all of those. I haven't tried metformin. NAD, yes. NAD, again, for the skin. I've intermittently taken it. I haven't really noticed much of a difference. HRT, I took for a few months. Didn't really notice any difference. No, I mean, all the way through, you know, my cycle, I had the, I can't think of the name of it at the moment.
The Marina coil.
Yeah. And I mean, I just was one of those lucky ones that I just never experienced any menopausal symptoms whatsoever, because by the time, you know, the 5 years of the coil was finished and they did my bloods, I'd actually apparently already been through the menopause and didn't even know.
Wow, that is, because that's one thing that did hit me, particularly actually in terms of my body composition.
Yeah.
And just the lack of sleep at night and waking up with the hot sweats. I mean, those were the sort of the main things for me. But I had that during lockdown and just assumed it was part of this whole, we're going through weird things. And then I did my research. And funnily enough, I went on to testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
Which I found was a game changer for me, massive.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, because I had all three, you know, the progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. Maybe I didn't give it long enough, but I think I felt so good anyway.
if you look but, amazing and you feel good, then
yeah, that I thought, like, what's the point really? But I mean, I don't have views on, like, never do it. Let me say that way, you know, I'll get my bloods checked on Tuesday. I'll see what they say. If they're all perfect, I, you know, I will then carry on as I am for another 6 weeks. But I'm always looking at those bloods. And if anything's low, then I'll go straight in and I'll address it. And I will take more bionics. I would take more D. I would take testosterone, progesterone, estrogen, anything. That all I'm interested in is keeping all those bloods green.
You know, where do you go to get your bloods done? Is it
my gym do it, but they liaise with Randox. You know, Randox, the I know the COO there. I think they're magnificent. You know, the work they do. You end up with something like this. It gives you a complete biomarker analysis. So you know, and it gives you like all of your. So for example, this is on kidney health. So look, it will give you all your biomarkers and you can see they're all green. So as long as everything's green, then I see no reason, like metabolics there, look, all green, you know, everything's green. And so as long as everything's green, I think, well, what's the point?
Well, exactly.
Because changing anything, you know, I mean, for example, the cholesterol is red, but in a good way, because my good cholesterol is high.
Same.
Yeah. So, and that's because of diet. So, that would be my overriding message to people is don't take the things that we take. Don't listen to anyone. Take the things they take. Just get your bloods done and then change it accordingly.
Now, you did mention, I've just got to veer back on this. You mentioned putting olive oil onto your skin. And yeah. Again, what I'm reading is if you look into different makeup products, the moisturizer, even your SPF, yeah. There are so many different chemicals and plastics and parabens. What is your beauty regime, Angela? Because your skin is amazing, it looks fantastic.
I don't actually, thank you. I mean, hydration with anything that you can find, really. I've tried all sorts of moisturizers and things like that. So body is olive oil, and I just think, I mean, I know it doesn't smell great, but you can just pour it on yourself really quickly. And, you know, it just is really great for your skin. I actually do put that on my face sometimes as well. Just so many different types. I mean, I go to a couple of clinics in Chelsea and have facials, you know, the Hydrafacial, had Laser Genesis, which is like a very light red pulse light thing. You know, that with the Hydrafacial, they do a lot of extraction and all sorts of, you know, different massages and things like that. But I mean, I've had different brands, I can't even think of them, but like Zedo or a whole load of different brands I go, but I try to use the hydroclonic acid, you know, serum of some sort, heavy moisturizer before I go to bed, like a water spray combined with the hyaluronic acid.
I can never pronounce it, but yes.
Mix that with a water spray, put that on my face, put a light moisturizer in the day, and then put SPF over the top. I use the Halo SPF. I put it on my arms as well because my arms are very, very sun damaged, you know, from being, you know, in the sun a lot. But yeah, I mean, I just think hydration is the key, and not allowing your skin to get burned. And but so much of it comes from the inside, what you're eating, what you're drinking, and you can really change your skin texture. I mean, all my clients, they say that you know, after a period of just a few weeks, not only does their body feel different, but their skin feels different, their eyes are different, you know, all of it.
I think that's it. That was the one thing that I certainly noticed just changing my diet, you know, when I went to this Whole Foods, getting rid of all the processed rubbish and just drinking more water. You know, that was probably 10 years ago. I had a completely different diet to the one I have today. And certainly I wasn't drinking, you know, when I was in the office at work, I never used to drink as much water. Now I make sure that I'm getting it.
Yeah. And it doesn't actually count if you're having it in coffee and things like that. People think, I mean, you know, I've still got some coffee left here, and people think that that's like, well, mainly water, but it isn't, you know, it's actually draining you, isn't it, of hydration. So I do like coffee though. So I think it's a raw, no more after 12.
Yeah. Now, Angela, you mentioned Joe Dispenza, and that there is one thing. I've been following your journey, and certainly something that's come much more into my own journey, and that's the question of spirituality. Would you describe yourself as spiritual, and if so, what does that sort of mean to you?
Well, I used to think it was weird when people would talk about hugging trees and, you know, that we're all one and stuff like that. I didn't think that at all. I thought, no, we're separate. But I've done a complete 360 on that. And I really, the more that I've studied the universe, and particularly the way that Joe Dispenza brings it, you know, obviously he's inspired by a variety of different individuals as well. And I love to go back and look at all the different sources. So, you know, if we're talking about spirits and past life regression, all of that, you know, if you go and look at the work of Dolores Cannon, or if you look at the law of attraction, for example, then look at the work of Neville Goddard, or if you look at, you know, channeling spirit voices, then have a look at Abraham Hicks. And I think, but he beautifully brings all of this together. So, and also mixes it up with, you know, our biology, our chemistry as humans, and then quantum physics, and actually explains the mechanics of how we can connect to source energy and how we are all one. So I'm one of these that I love to sort of go, hang on, I need to understand what is the logic, you know? And so if you start looking at all his books here, you know, ranging from like this one, which is really a really nice basic book of
that's
explaining,
breaking the habit of being yourself.
Being yourself. And then it sort of goes further on to going a bit more woo-woo, let's say, in terms of how you can connect, you know, to the unknown and get into a different frequency where there's a different life, you're a different being, and you can go into a meditation and come back as almost like a brand new body, even though you look the same. Different things happen, and suddenly you bump into someone, and that's because you're now in a different time dimension. So my belief now is that we are all one and the same. And that, you know, in just the same way that a tree blossoms and a flower blossoms and grows and is perfect, so are we. That's how we are. And, you know, that the universe and the forces in the universe are encouraging us to blossom and be perfect. But for some reason, we've got this capability of stopping that, because we don't sort of believe it. It's like a flower sitting there believing it's not going to grow and stunting its own growth, you know. But as if we let that resistance go, and if we just believe that everything is working out for us and everything is working out in our favor, and all the things that happen, which don't feel like it at the time, the challenges, but they're actually meant to be there so that we do become, you know, like if you look at a tree, the way that it will grow around obstacles, or a flower or a vine or a diamond, you know, that we're growing and as a result of these challenges. And so I suppose that's how I've become more spiritual, is that I really, really, truly believe that we're all perfect, and we're all one thing, and we're all meant to go on this journey together. And I think I feel like everybody is raising their consciousness a bit. And I love the teachings, you know, of Abraham Hicks, when what she says is that our only job really is to try and focus on feeling good. That doesn't mean going to, you know, the nightclub and taking tequila shots. You know, it means just focusing on the very present moment, loving what you're doing, feeling gratitude for our body and our strength and the people around us, and just trying to really enjoy this life for what it is, you know, knowing that we are that flower growing and going through our cycle.
Got to say, I really resonate with everything you say. You know, when you can feel your body pinprick and like, I went to listen to Dr. Bruce Lipton. I don't know if you know Dr.
I haven't listened to him, but yeah,
amazing. And I had tears in my eyes. And then Dr. Greg Braden as well.
Where did you see those two?
London. Really, actually, they're coming back this year as well. I'll let you know.
Let me know. I'd love to go.
But you know, you can feel your whole body almost vibrate because what you just said, and I know we're through Zoom, we're not sitting next to each other, but I could feel the energy in my body.
Yeah.
And there was one question I was going to ask you, because I don't know I don't know, I don't think it's just me, but I feel as I've got older, my consciousness levels have risen. You know, I'm more in touch and in tune. And as you say, you attract in and talk to, end up talking to people, this level of conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think is it a switch? Do you think it's our age or?
I don't think it's our age. I think it's just our level of awareness and when we're introduced to it, or maybe when we're open to it as well. Because I mean, if I think about my daughter, you know, I took her to an event, a Joe Dispenza event in Paris at the beginning of the year. But, you know, she works with me, and so she's very open to it. But not just that, but she can really feel the energy. You know, when she has a meditation, she'll feel it even more than I can. I mean, she literally can feel energy coming down and sort of touching her head, and, you know, she can feel it everywhere. I can feel energy. I can sort of almost, you know, I think once you are conscious of something, you can start to feel it. Why would you want to feel it? Well, it can be very, very helpful. Let's say, for example, you have a negative feeling about something, you're worried about something. You know, that's really what that is. That's in your energy field, you know. And what you can do is you can identify where it is. If you've got a worry, you can think, well, where is that worry? Where am I feeling it? And you can sort of pinpoint it. Let's say it's here. And you can literally just envisage pushing it out of your energy field and getting rid of it and sort of, you know. And basically, so it's very good to feel it because it can be very practical like that. And you can feel other people's energy. If you're trying to connect with someone, you know, or you're feeling that you're not connecting with someone, you can just sort of focus on their energy a bit and start to try to talk to the inner them as opposed to the external them. But why? I think we just each have our own journey when we're open to it. And some people find it easier than others. I don't really know why. I mean, we are all made of the same. We have the same mechanics. And part of Joe Dispenza's work that I think is really fascinating is just how this machine of ours works. You know, I mean, we see something and, you know, our brain sort of, the front part of our brain will take that information, relate to everything else that's happened in our whole life, see if there's some sort of neural pathway already there, make sense of it, you know, and then go, oh, right, okay, well, this is a scary situation. I need to be worried about it. It could be an email. Mm-hmm. And it immediately dump some chemicals into our body to make us feel a certain way. So, you know, if it's an email that we don't like, you know, it can dump a chemical into our body, which is a fight or flight response. And we're hyper alert as if it were a lion coming to come and eat us, but it's actually an email. And the thing is that our body then gets into a thinking feeling loop. So we can feel things that make our brain think it. So it's almost like, if we're not careful, we do run this program.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, I find it a lot in personal relationships. I think that's where we can all get triggered the most. And it's quite often not the actual person at that point of time. It's you're going back to a past relationship where we're triggered and it's bringing up all of that.
Yeah. But I think these conversations now are just so much more common, aren't they? We're so much more open about talking about it. We're all much more interested in, what's this other thing? You know, I always have thought that we are capable of so much more and that we're only using a tiny part of our brain and we probably could fly and do all sorts if only we tapped into that ability. I've always thought that. And I think, you know, yeah, it's just as you learn more, you become more aware of your abilities of manifestation. I mean, we all have these situations of coincidences, don't we, where we think about someone and they ring us, you know, or we think about people and we bump into them. I had a situation, even, and I don't know if you know Neville Goddard's work, where he says that you can put it to a test, the ladder.
Oh, I haven't done the ladder. No, but
he says that, you know, you can put it to a test, manifestation. If you don't believe manifestation, then there's a really simple one. You can think of a ladder. Because you're not really bothered about when you next see a ladder, you can really think about it quite a bit and decide what your ladder looks like and how it feels when you climb up it. And then you can just sort of forget about it, really. But what will inevitably happen, anyone who's listened to this, they can trial it. You know, you have to give it a bit of a thought. You have to sort of be able to see the ladder. What does it look like? You know, like mine when I did it was a white sort of metal rattly ladder, like a step ladder. What's yours if you're thinking about a ladder?
Well, I was thinking of a sort of funny enough, a metal ladder, and I was trying to think of where it was leaning against. It was probably leaning against a wall, I think. Yeah.
And if you start feeling it in your mind, what it feels like, and maybe in your mind go up it a few steps, and then forget about it. And what will happen the next period of time? He said to his class, right, you're not allowed to come back to the class till you see that ladder. And but you're not allowed to think about it either. So that was it. You know, they would go off and everybody would see the ladder. And bloody hell, you know, I remember seeing the ladder. I mean, like, I walked into this apartment where I live, and not only was this apartment perfect, it was a couple of years ago, and became available in a really fluky way. But the very first thing that I saw when I opened the door was that ladder. And yesterday, what was really 2 days ago, there's a couple of ladies that I follow on Instagram, business women. I love the work they do, you know, so I follow them on Instagram. And I saw on Instagram yesterday morning that they're in London. I thought, and as I was walking through Hyde Park, because I just saw it, I thought, oh, wouldn't that be great if they come walking towards me and I could have a chat with them? And I sort of very fleetingly said, so come on, universe, you know, bring them, make them walk towards me. But then I put a podcast back on and didn't think anything of it, completely forgot about it, walked down Hyde Park, came out of the side of at Hyde Park, you know, number one Hyde Park, across the road, and there they were standing there. And I had a chat with them.
That is, and you had the chat with them.
I had the chat with them because they were there, you know. I mean, it's so funny. I knew one of them because I interviewed her on a podcast last year, year before last. But, you know, so you can, once you see little coincidences, we call it driftwood, once you have little nudges and you can see. So all that is you're just for a moment, you're getting into a frequency where, and you're thinking about something and you have to, it has to come to you.
And then you realize actually the universe is totally working for you, not against you.
Yeah.
And then it's all absolutely about flow. Yeah.
So give it to you. But that's why, you know, not only is there no point in worrying about stuff extensively because it's going to drain your happiness, but also because if you do put too much time and effort and thought and energy into what you don't want, you'll attract to yourself what you don't want. So that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I think our awareness of all this stuff is really increasing, and the conversations like this are increasing. And so, yeah, the consciousness of the world is increasing. There's going to be a walk for the world, an international walk on the 23rd of September, all around the world.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've become very, very spiritual. It's a big part of my life now.
I love this, Angela. My gosh, we could carry on doing a whole nother podcast on this.
Yeah.
Just looking forward, I guess to your own future. Where are you going now in sort of your business, health, and mindset?
Well, it's about holistic performance. I think I've always been called a social entrepreneur, and I think that the reason is that any business that I set up, it's always to do with social impact of some sort. And I'm so interested, like you are, in raising the consciousness of individuals, particularly midlifers, particularly women, although I do have some male clients, but particularly business women, and enabling them to sort of have this evolution where, you know, we ought to, because we're both interested in longevity as well, and we ought to be routinely living beyond 120. And some are even saying 156, and some people are even, I went to a longevity conference in Montenegro, and they were even saying longer than that. But, you know, routinely 120, let's say. And so if that's the case, you know, I'm only halfway through, you're less than halfway through. So I'm very interested in people maximizing this second part of their life. And, you know, like the people above 50 have got twice the money. They make half the noise of the people below 50, you know. So I really want to promote that age group, but not like the silver-haired saga type idea, but more, come on, like, what, you know, let's make life anything that you want it to. I want to do that on a bigger impact. And that's why we are working primarily with corporates now, where basically we go to the corporate and I would talk to them about body, mind, business, bring it all together. On the business front, it will be helping their executives to align their personal goals with their professional goals. And I'll go in with their management team and I'll do some group sessions and I'll do some individual sessions. So that's a big part of it. And we've had some lovely, thousand plus in employee companies that we've worked with and that we are working with. But also to make it more accessible to individuals as well, we've created all these different online courses. And we created the very first one in 2018. I still have that very first client, and that was when I was sitting in the Middleton Murray office where you came. And it was a passion project, like I said, and we just did a webinar one night. And I remember, talking about body, mind and business, and she bought it. And we were turning over millions at that time. And I think she bought it for about, 1,500 quid or something. And I was literally dancing for joy, And so it certainly wasn't about the money. It was about, oh my God, someone thinks that this is interesting. And then I went and did the speech, for Success Resources, and that was 6,000 people and everybody reacted really well to that. And yeah, during lockdown, when I last met you for a chat, they asked me if I would train some people online. That was the first online training I did from my garage. And there were thousands on there that day. And I ended up with a big, because they encouraged me to put an offer out there, which was the first, the first sort of program that we sold officially. That was called Your Body Means Business. And loads of people bought that from all around the world. And we've gone on from there now. So we have a body course. I did a live meditation program, 28 days worth of meditation, which we've now packaged up as a program. There's a Careers Queen program, which is for people that work in corporate that want to get promoted. We have a business, start your own business program. There's Make This Your Best Year Yet. There's 8 modules program for if you really want to reset everything, how to sort of do that step by step. So, and then we're just launching up like an access all areas thing where it's a subscription that people can pay every month and then have access to all of that. They can dip in and out when they want. And whenever they buy the programs, then they have access forever. If they buy the program, not the sub, then and keep it forever and reuse it. So it's just trying to make as much impact as I can. And as I learn, trying to share that knowledge.
So where can people find out more about your programs? Because they sound amazing. And
they can find me on at Angela Middleton on LinkedIn and Instagram. And if they go to the website, yourbodymeansbusiness.com, all the detail about the programs are there, so they can see all of them there. And I've got another website, Angela Middleton, but that's sort of more generally about me if you want to know some stuff.
And we'll put all of these links in the show notes. So my final question, I guess, Angela, is what do you want to be remembered for?
Well, I think simply that I've helped set an example to people that, that has changed their life. And I have so many clients now that have said, they're so glad that they started this journey with me. It really has changed everything. It's changed their relationships. It's changed, their lifestyle. They're just so much happier. They're making a wider contribution. So there's that ripple effect as well. So, just to have made a bit of a difference, I think.
Angela, you've certainly made a difference to me. I think you're wonderful, such an inspiration. And thank you for being a guest on my show.
Thank you. Lovely. All right. Lovely to see you. Thanks ever so much.